Wade's class from our readings this week. The account in the Gospel of Luke, beginning verse 9, of the angel appearing to shepherds to proclaim great tidings, good news of great joy, glad tidings of great joy. Verse 9, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then the angel proceeds to give them signs by which they may see and know that. And the host of heaven appear with the angel to sing glory to Christ the Savior. Later, in Galatians 4, through the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit will reveal this happened in the fullness of time. The fullness of time that Jesus would take up the body that we remember and see in this bread and in this cup. Spirit would also later in chapter 2 of the letter to the Hebrew Christians explain more just why it was so important and significant that Jesus indeed came and took up that body of the infant in that manger in Bethlehem. Beginning in verse 9, "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, and bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." And continuing in verse 14, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil." When that fullness of time came and our Savior came into the world, later in chapter 10, the Holy Spirit through the Hebrew writer said that when Christ came into the world, among the proclamations he made from prophecy, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he came, he knew he was coming for those like us in flesh and blood who were enslaved to the power of sin and death, that we were hopeless, that we were alienated from God by our sins. And so he took up a body to be made like us, that he might take the body to the cross and give that body in death for us, to destroy the power of sin and death over us. And in so doing, being made like us, to consider us his brothers and sisters, to not be ashamed to be called our brother. And, as he said, to do the will of God. It's significant, as it is related in Hebrews 2, that God found it fitting that Jesus would be made perfect, complete, full as our Savior through suffering, and that Jesus in coming came to do the will of God. That will of God was that he would suffer, the thing that we want to avoid, that we need strength to endure and want to avoid, he came to do that he might be complete and perfect as our Savior. So this bread and this cup remind us that suffering was not chance for Jesus. Suffering was not simply part of the human condition for Jesus. Suffering was his purpose in coming, and his conscious and deliberate will in coming, that he might rescue us from the power of death. And we know, as it says, I've come to do your will. And the Holy Spirit would make clear in Ephesians 1 that the suffering of Jesus was the will of God, because it was the will of God that we might be redeemed to be adopted as his children through Jesus. Beginning in verse 4, in love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. And then continues to make clear that that occurs because of our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins that we have in his blood. And in this supper that we share together, we are reminded that he is our brother because of his atoning sacrifice, his suffering on the cross, the shedding of his precious blood, the breaking of that body that he took up to do the will of God. And we're also reminded that death, as the song says, death could not keep its prey. That he was raised on the third day, that he lives today in a glorified body, glorified at the right hand of the Father, that he rules and reigns over all his creation, and that he's going to return. And that because he was raised, as 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, as the first fruits of those who have died, as the one man from whom resurrection of the dead will come. For as Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ the first fruits, and then at his coming, those who belong with Christ. That we will have glorified bodies as he has a glorified body. And that is because at the right time, he came in that body, in that manger, as an infant in Bethlehem. He grew in the grace and the knowledge and the spirit, power of the Holy Spirit. And he walked among us and taught among us and suffered among us and went to the cross for our redemption and adoption as children of God, to save us from the sin and death that our own rebellion had created. So as we take this cup and take this bread, let us proclaim, like that heavenly host, glories to Jesus Christ, who came at the right time, who is our elder brother, who is our Redeemer, who saved us from sin and death, and who's coming again as the first fruits of the resurrection to bring us together with him to the Father, when he has destroyed the last enemy, who is death.